right, welcome to another episode of Piecing It Together, the podcast where we take a look at a new movie and try to figure out what movies inspired it. And today on the show, we are talking about a major superhero movie, although it's one that's not doing very well, and that's kind of a shame. We're talking about Birds of Prey and the Fantabulous Emancipation of One Harley Quinn, which is, of course, the Harley Quinn spinoff solo movie, which is actually kind of a team-up movie with this group of female superheroes called the Birds of Prey. Or actually, are they villains? You know, I still don't even know. I mean, the conceit of Suicide Squad, which was the first movie with Harley Quinn in it, was that these are all villains. So are the Birds of Prey villains? I honestly watched the movie just 2 days ago, and I don't know. I don't think they are. I think they're heroes. I think it's just Harley. You know what? Clearly, I am a little bit lost. But what I do know is that you should have gone and seen this movie. I don't like that it's flopping as hard as it is. I didn't love the movie. I thought it was pretty good, but it should not be flopping like this, and it's a shame because it's just going to give more fodder to these awful nerds online who love to spout hate constantly. So go see this damn movie, all right? And then come back and listen to this conversation I've got coming up here with Chad Clinton Freeman, who I originally was thinking that I would maybe get a female co-host for this episode, but Chad is such a big DC super fan that I gotta have him on every DC-related movie that comes out. So, you know, there's gonna be lots of great coverage by female film critics that you should go check out about this movie and get their opinions on it. But here you're going to get to hear Chad, a DC super fan, talk about the movie and talk about some great puzzle pieces. He's got a big list of puzzle pieces, man, like three times as many as I came to this episode with. But anyway, we're going to get into that in a second. I do want to remind you, please make sure you are subscribed to Piecing It Together on your podcast app of choice. You can rate and review us on Apple Podcasts or Podchaser if you enjoy this show. And of course, follow us on social media at Piecing Pod. And one last thing, I want to get a quick plug in. Next week, February 17th, it's a Monday, 7 p.m., the Golden Tiki. We're doing a live episode of Bird Road Podcast, my other podcast. It's all about culture and politics. It's going to be a fun show. If you're here in Las Vegas, you should be there. It's a free show. Golden Tiki, February 17th, 7 p.m. All right, let's get into the conversation about Birds of Prey. All right, so we have got with us today our resident DC Extended Universe expert, Mr. Chad Clinton Freeman. How's it going, Chad?
Well, it's going. We'll say before we get going, you know, we're recording. It is Oscar day.
It sure is.
And Birds of Prey, which we're going to discuss, is doing poorly at the box office. So I am a little bit down today. I'm feeling a little ticked off at, you know, the public. Feel
it's
like
a shame.
There's some sexism going on here. But before we get into this, I wanted to say, top right off the bat, Honey Boy is on Amazon Prime right now. Anybody that hasn't watched it, fantastic movie from an Israeli woman director named Alma Harrell. So everybody check that out. And of course, listen to our episode afterward.
Yes, there you go. Good plug right there. I like it. But yeah, we are going to be talking about Birds of Prey, and it is unfortunately flopping pretty hard at the box office, which is it's a shame because I know we've already talked a little bit about it before we hit record here, but I know you liked it more than I did. I did like it, though, certainly enough for this to do well. It's really a shame that it's doing so badly, and I don't get it. I do think there is some of that sexism you mentioned. I think that plays into this somewhat.
Right.
I also think Suicide Squad was one of the worst movies ever that I've ever seen, and so that plays into it a little bit too. But still,
a worse movie though. Aquaman made way more money than Suicide Squad, and then you had Joker make so much money. So I just thought that automatically it was going to be a home run. But yeah. So.
You say worst movie, Aquaman. I say best movie ever made, Aquaman. Tomato, tomato. But well, that's not today's conversation. Today is Birds of Prey, and we're going to get into some puzzle pieces about this. It's kind of a spinoff, kind of a sequel, but also kind of its own new thing. It's almost like they're trying to just move on because they know a lot of people. They're, you know, Suicide Squad is not without its fans, but they know people were not generally happy with it, and I think they wanted to kind of turn a new page, especially with the success DC has had since then. I mean, they obviously had a real uphill battle, and then these last few have really knocked it out of the park for them. So I'd say I know you have a ton of puzzle pieces. I joked with you earlier that we should implement a three for you, one for me rule, but we won't exactly go like that. But why don't we jump in, because I know we're going to have a lot to get through. Why don't we get to your first one or two, or however many you want to put together pieces.
So here's the thing. I do have a ton of notes, lots and lots of ideas from this movie. And I think, I mean, a lot of it can be kind of lumped together. So we don't necessarily have to per se go and you know, a bunch at a time or anything. I'll start off with, though, a movie that I think is very underrated, that I think this movie really, as far as comic book films, goes back to it in a lot of ways. And that's actually the 1984 Supergirl movie. The Supergirl movie, I actually rewatched it recently. I loved it as a kid. I had not seen it since then. I was 10 at the time. So, I mean, you know, you go back and you watch things that you watched when you were 10. They don't always live up to how great they were then. It's a good movie. And I mean, for the time, it's actually, I would say, as far as her character, pretty groundbreaking. I mean, it was the first woman comic book movie, the first woman big budget movie, and I think this movie, it kind of parallels it in several ways. One is the villains in Supergirl, actually their home is in an abandoned amusement park, and they live in this funhouse, a haunted house, you know, something along those lines. And, you know, you've got your basically finale in this film takes place in an amusement park in a, you know, funhouse. And, you know, it was some sort of headquarters for Joker and Harley Quinn. So I think not only that side of it, but the fact that Supergirl, you had a character that in it there is a love interest. It did go into that cliche of, oh well, there has to be a love interest. But at the same time, Supergirl definitely stands on her own. She does not have anybody else pushing her along or helping her along. Originally, Superman was actually supposed to be in the film. Christopher Reeve was supposed to actually come in, and there was going to be an element to where he loses his powers and Supergirl actually saves Superman. But after Superman 3, it was a big disappointment. It was a flop, and Christopher Reeve was sort of pissed off at the time about what the studios had done with the character, that he really stepped away from Superman, and that's why we got Supergirl, and that's why we got the movie that we got. And in a lot of ways, I think maybe without Superman in it, it does make it a stronger movie and more of a feminist movie, kind of the way this one makes Harley a stronger character than she was in Suicide Squad. Because in Suicide Squad, there's not, you know, Joker, it is the Harley show, and Joker is there, though, but she is still under his thumb. And so in this one, she really breaks away from him, you know, and even goes against him by blowing up the chemical factory. So, I mean, I just see in a lot of ways Supergirl as being something that definitely laid the foundation to get to the point to where we are with this film. And also, I would think if you were going back and looking at superhero movies, I see Superman the movie with Christopher Reeve as something that influenced Wonder Woman and also Captain Marvel. And I would see Supergirl as one that influenced this one.
Sure. Yeah, it's funny. People don't bring this movie up very often.
Yeah,
I always forget there was one. Quite frankly, like I think of the TV show and stuff. But yeah, when people talk about like the history of women fronted, you know, action movies or comic book movies, people never really bring it up.
Yeah, Helen Slater. I mean, Helen Slater. I loved her as a kid. I still do because she did this and she did The Legend of Billie Jean. I loved both that movie as well. And I've rewatched both of them in recent years, and they still hold up really great. I mean, Helen Slater was very much like a feminist, movie star at the time, especially if you go back and you look at those movies that those were made in the 80s. So.
Awesome. Well, I am going to go with my first puzzle piece, which is Deadpool 2. For multiple reasons. First of all, I think this movie probably would have done a little bit better if it was just called Harley Quinn and it was about Harley Quinn 100%, which it really kind of is, but certainly, you know, the trailers didn't make it seem like it was going to be. They made it seem like it was going to be about this team up, the Birds of Prey.
Right.
Deadpool 2 is set up as a team movie for this whole X-Force reveal, which ends up not even being really what it's about. But, you know, it's kind of a weird, almost bait and switch kind of situation where it ends up being about one thing when it's, you know, kind of planning it out to be about something else.
Right.
I think most people have no idea who the Birds of Prey are and maybe still don't even after seeing the movie.
Right.
You know, it's such a tacked on thing. But yeah, that's kind of the way they handled X-Force and Deadpool 2. But then also just the bad guy being after the kid who has the thing that the bad guy needs to do the thing that the bad guy needs. And so our hero has to protect that kid the whole time. So I think there's a lot structurally with Deadpool 2 that is very similar to the way that they handled putting together this Harley Quinn movie.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I think one of the things that I did think about this film is that the title is a misstep in many ways. Birds of Prey is not a good title for it. Birds of Prey fans, I think they're confused by this movie because here's the thing is that Harley Quinn is not a part of the Birds of Prey. So the fact that it's a Harley Quinn movie and she's in it, like for example, the TV show Birds of Prey, Harley Quinn was the villain that the Birds of Prey were fighting against. So it's definitely very, very confusing. It's confusing for fans of Birds of Prey. It's confusing for fans of Harley Quinn. It's also confusing for people that don't really know much about either as to what it's about. I think that the way the movie operates, though, I think it's pretty brilliant because it is a genesis of Birds of Prey. And they can definitely get their own movie now, and I don't think it's going to happen though after this movie.
Yeah,
pops.
I know.
So again, that's one of those kind of missteps in a way that a studio does thinking too far ahead. The title is its weakest point for me. That being said, I knew you were going to bring up Deadpool.
Yes.
I have not seen the second Deadpool. I was not a fan of the first Deadpool. So Deadpool in general, as far as Harley Quinn, actually breaking the wall and talking to the audience.
Totally,
And just the whole aspect of, you know, it being about having fun and it coming from, you know, in the case of Deadpool, he's just a I don't know how to describe him. He's a wise ass, and
sure.
Harley is a, you know, basically, I mean, here's the thing about Harley.
It's a similar thing.
Yeah, but she's a chaotic person, like, you
yes.
know, I mean, she really is, like, she has mental issues. She's a brilliant person, but at the same time, she has issues. And yeah, she's very,
definitely.
Very hyper and chaotic. And it's just, you know, like unable to be like contained. So I mean, there are some similarities, but also some differences. So yeah, for sure. Definitely. Even though I hadn't seen Deadpool 2, sounds like what you were hitting on. Definitely sounds like it's a good piece for this one specifically.
What do you got for your next piece?
For my next one, I'm going to go with another, what I would say is a classic, for me, comic book movie about a woman, superhero, I guess you would say, and that's Tank Girl. So, Tank Girl, I would say Harley Quinn is a lot like her as a character. Of course, 1995. And I'm not even sure exactly how you say her name, but Rachel Talalay, I think that's how her name is, the director. So woman directed a comic book movie back in 1995, very, very much groundbreaking, very much overlooked to these days. It does have, you know, a cult following. There are people like me that love it. And I think that with, I was feeling that the interest in it would kind of get a comeback because there was talk of Margot Robbie doing a Tank Girl movie after this one. We'll see what actually happens with Harley and then also with any other projects like Tank Girl after this disappointing box office.
It's a bummer.
Oh, yeah. No, definitely. So, yeah, I mean, Tank Girl, again, as a character, she plays by her own rules. You know, she's a rebel. She's also very colorful and one of the things I loved about Harley in this one is she really got to play dress up. Suicide Squad, she basically had one outfit and she kind of stuck to it, and of course it was very much for the guys watching the movie, I think.
Yeah, I think that's a fair assessment.
You definitely see the difference between a woman directing Harley Quinn and then a guy in Suicide Squad. So David Ayer, Suicide Squad, here, Kathy Yan, I believe her name. She gets to be a girly girl and she gets to be all kinds of different, you know, dress up and colorful and fun, playful, and a lot like Tank Girl in that way. Also with Tank Girl, you had a, you know, song and dance number, that was a lot of fun and just kind of there. And in here it works a little bit better because it's, actually in her head, the whole Marilyn Monroe bit. Very much, I think Black Mask, Ian McGregor, his character, he sort of reminds me of, the villain in Tank Girl as well, which was played by Malcolm McDowell. Ian McGregor has always kind of had that Malcolm McDowell sort of vibe to him for me for some reason. Which I could go ahead and bring up another puzzle piece, which is A Clockwork Orange.
That's on my list too. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So, yeah. Clockwork Orange, definitely because of the, the look of the sets, the wacky like art decor in the the hideout at the end, the fun house, and then also the Black Mask, his strip joint is kind of a lot like the Milk Bar in A Clockwork Orange.
The gleefulness in which these people are like just causing chaos.
You're right. Yeah, the whole anarchy aspect of it as well. Yeah. It's strange to say, but there is a weird coolness to some of the parts in A Clockwork Orange where they are just like beating up people for no reason, and you just see them kind of walking down the street, which is kind of something that Tarantino played with Reservoir Dogs. I think you get a little bit of that, like that fun and gleefulness of committing chaos, definitely with these characters.
Totally.
But yeah, so. All right, there you go. I knocked out two.
Yeah, absolutely, including one from my short list of puzzle pieces.
Sorry about that.
Damn it, Chad. Well, I will. I'll bring up another one along the way. You just mentioned Tarantino, and of course, I'm going to bring up the Kill Bill movies.
Yeah.
Of course, we got these just badass ass kicking women as heroes, you know. But then also all of like the character intros, especially the Huntress intro, was so reminiscent of the Oranishi storyline in Kill Bill. Yeah, I mean, there's so much of that just heavily stylized violent action, you know, from sexy women, you know, which is so much what Kill Bill is.
Right, exactly. Yeah, and if you think about it, Kill Bill, as far as like action women movies, like big mainstream movies where you had a total just badass woman that she was the main character. I mean, you can't really think of any that came before, especially that are specifically like fighting and using sure. their hands, you know, martial arts. There is not a lot, especially in a comic booky, cartoony kind of way as well,
absolutely.
Which this definitely does. In general, I think Tarantino is a big influence here. One of the things I actually read was originally the working script for this film was Fox Force 5, which of course is the movie in Pulp Fiction that Uma Thurman is talking about with the pilot. So that was supposedly the working title for this film. So obviously from the get-go of writing, there was a lot of Tarantino influence. Of course, you've got the chaotic narrative with the film, you know, being told out of order. Gives it sort of a Guy Ritchie vibe as well.
Yeah.
In that way. But yeah, totally. I was trying to think also of like, you know, just good movies with cool, like women action scenes. And I was actually struggling, especially just going back, trying to figure out, you know, something besides Kill Bill. I was thinking of the Steven Soderbergh movie, Haywire. Which is actually Gina Carano.
Sure.
Yeah. The 2011 film. That one, the violence is more grounded because, I mean, Gina Carano, I mean, she is a badass herself. But there's still some of that cool stunts, fighting and action.
Maybe throw Atomic Blonde in with that as well.
Yeah, yeah, that would be definitely one more recent Atomic Blonde. Yeah. Cuz and I would agree that Atomic Blonde it is definitely more toward that direction. But at the same time, like there's almost this Jackie Chan side to this movie at times. Or a movie like The Raid, just like really cool action. I know there's probably one movie that you're going to mention, so I'm not going to say anything about it, but that we've had in more recent years. But I was going to say Jackie Chan had to have been an influence as well. And I would just, as far as I was trying to think specifically, like the motorcycle and the skate scene, I thought was really, really cool. I really, really loved that. That whole thing that totally made me think of Jackie Chan. And I know there were some things in Police Story involving a motorcycle. I couldn't think of anything. I mean, it's almost like I've seen somebody do that exact type of thing where being pulled by a motorcycle on skates, but I couldn't think of anything. But Police Story and then Chinese Zodiac is another one of Jackie Chan's where he is actually on, skates. He's actually on the like laying down skates. Those were two of his films that I specifically thought of that had some stunts that were sort of similar in that. But not only that scene, there's the scene though where they're fighting in front of the car, and then the car is being pulled into the fight itself. Also, just kind of has that Jackie Chan element to it. So really, really fun to me to see, you know, a mainstream movie and a movie with a woman involved in these action stunts and the woman being, you know, a total badass. So
totally. Yeah. And, you know, I think I actually did see an article that said that Jackie Chan was where the director, Kathy Ann, said that Jackie Chan was an influence on some of these action moments. So right. that totally makes sense. So I might as well jump to the piece that you were hinting at there, which I'm pretty sure would be John Wick, which I know, we all know how much you don't like these movies. I absolutely love them. And of course, it's also well known that the stunt choreographers and fight choreographers were brought on to do a little bit of punching up for this movie and to up the ante with some of these action sequences. And not only does it show, because these are some of the best action fighting sequences I've seen in any comic book movie, honestly, but they're very reminiscent of that John Wick style. It's very clear that it's the same choreographers, I think. And I think it's better for it. I think it really was a smart move, and I think we haven't gotten a chance to see women do these kinds of moves as much. You know, the last John Wick movie with all the stuff Halle Berry's doing is just so insanely awesome. And so it's great to see more of that kind of stuff happening on screen.
Yeah, no, the action scenes, they are really fantastic. The other thing with John Wick, though, is that you do have the whole dog element as well, where she thinks, you know, maybe Bruce is dead.
Which I think this movie would have been better if they did more with that hyena or whatever it is. It was such a cool touch for her to have that. And
right.
They should have gotten that involved in some of the action.
And here's the thing is, it may be something you're not aware of, but that actually goes back to the original animated series that she was in, because her character's origins, she actually had two hyenas. So that's a nod to that.
Nice.
But yeah, I think for me, the movie, there definitely is a lot squeezed into it. But for me, it really worked. Doing that. So I think they definitely did approach it to, I mean, there's so many things that they could have focused more on, but I think they totally did go for, let's throw everything in and kind of see what works.
Yeah. It feels like three scripts that were like kind of cherry picked to put together into something.
Yeah. I mean, and in that way, that's the thing. Cause I like Suicide Squad. I don't hate Suicide Squad. I feel this movie kind of has that same energy of Suicide Squad, especially the opening of this film with the music cues and everything reminds me a lot of the beginning of Suicide Squad and the way it works. So I enjoyed this as a sequel to Suicide Squad and feel that, you know, they were able to improve on what they did there, which I feel in a lot of ways was throwing a lot of things, you know, on the table and just trying to figure out what worked.
Let's keep every last thing that we threw on the table. Nothing goes. Let's keep it all. And by the way, speaking of the musical cues, to our listeners who are in our Popcorn and Puzzle Pieces group, I'm going to promise right here, right now, that Chad isn't going to post any more selections from the soundtrack going forward.
You're going to promise that, huh?
I'm kidding. If you really need to, you can do it.
It's a great soundtrack. I've been listening to it. I mean, it's a lot of fun. I mean, that's the thing. The movie top to bottom is just fun, I think. Mm-hmm. So
I do think it strikes a better balance than Suicide Squad, as far as that. Because there's, you know, obviously it seems like the goal is reaching a certain level of obnoxiousness with Suicide Squad and this, but I think it does it in a more palatable way in this movie. I don't know how to really describe that. I just think that it does a better job of going there without it being too much.
Well, so what I think is it filters it through Harley Quinn. So
yeah,
since it's filtered through her, it makes sense that it's chaotic. I mean, you know, to go back to Tank Girl, Tank Girl is a chaotic movie, a very hyper movie. And I know at the time, a lot of people didn't like it because of the, you know, it's very much in that Natural Born Killers kind of editing type of way, that it really, it kind of, you know, keeps you, you can't settle in. And I think whenever you filter it through somebody who themselves is off balance, it definitely works a lot better. Whereas Suicide Squad, it's like, it's kind of like, you know, there is no lead to hold your hand through it all. So, sure. I think that that's part of the problem with that movie. That movie has a terrible script. So, yeah. I will say that, but I do like Suicide Squad. So, yeah. I was going to say, cause you said some of the best, you know, action we've seen in a comic book movie. I will disagree with you there. I will say it is up there, but the fight scenes, okay, specifically the scene where she goes and breaks the kid out of jail, reminded me of Watchmen. It reminded me of the prison breakout scene in Watchmen. So I definitely, some of the fight scenes are reminiscent, I feel, of Zack Snyder as well, specifically Watchmen, specifically Sucker Punch. So those were ones that I had written down. One of the other,
I thought about including Sucker Punch on my list as well.
Yeah. So, I mean, and again, though, showing you a difference between the vision of a male director and a female director, Sucker Punch, lots of, you know, male gaze, lots of eye candy. I mean, this is the first thing when we walked out of this movie that I said, I was really surprised at the difference of the film. What this did, I felt like, was kind of, it's more in line with Captain Marvel. I mean, even Wonder Woman, that film is very about her being sexualized and being, because I think Zack Snyder as producer had his hands all over that film, and right. I'm not bad mouthing him in any way because I do love him, but I think that this one, since Margot Robbie was basically the, you know, she's the one that got this movie made, she is the producer behind it, and then Cathy Ann, I think, came in and really took control of it. And I think the fact that you actually had two women that were spearheading this film, it shows you so much different as far as like everything all the way down to wardrobe, as opposed to something like Sucker Punch, which, you know, was a guy's project, or sure. Wonder Woman, which was, you know, a guy with a lot of influence over it. So I think that is, though, one of the important reasons why we do need, you know, women doing these kinds of movies, because it does give a different perspective. It does give a totally different movie. Harley Quinn, totally not at all sexualized in this film in any way, whereas Suicide Squad, she was quite a bit. So, I mean, it's a big difference. And at the same time, this one's R-rated.
Right. That's interesting.
It cuts loose. It's R-rated. So, I mean, it is pretty crazy to think about. Now, a puzzle piece that I thought of, and then I actually saw that she had said this as well, but there were actually two exact moments that I saw in the movie, and I was like, okay. The Professional. The whole thing with the little girl. There's specifically a scene with the girl when Black Canary first meets her, and the girl's on the stairs and the parents are up fighting, very Professional. And then the scene where Harley and the girl are leaving, and Harley has collected like some of her valuables, and they're walking and they go over the hill. There's a scene in The Professional that's a lot like that as well. So I did read that she did specifically say that Professional was an influence of hers, and I got a whole bunch of stuff here. Do you have any other pieces here to?
I've got two more.
Okay.
I mean, we might as well get a really, really obvious one out of the way, and that is Joker. You know, we are seeing DC take on these, these basically not hero characters,
right,
and putting them front and center, making them the protagonist of these movies. These characters who really, when you come down to it, are these, murderous, right, characters that,
right,
they've got, clearly have some kind of mental illness, and, putting them front and center and making them the hero of their own story. And it's definitely a interesting, way to go forward. Of course, like we said, this movie is flopping hard. I don't know if we're going to continue to see stuff,
right,
like this, but then again, after the insane success of Joker, it kind of balances out. I think we probably will see more villains,
right,
as heroes in more future movies. Maybe it'll just be male ones.
it'll be white male.
Yeah, exactly.
So get ready for Lex Luthor.
Yes, exactly. Oh God, what's happening? What is happening? But anyway, so yeah, Joker is definitely, I think, on the list of puzzle pieces.
Oh yeah, no, definitely. I here's the thing though, is that I feel if you take all the DC films since Man of Steel, I think that people are finally, critics and also fans are finally warming up to what they're doing. I don't feel that they're really doing anything different than they've been doing from the start. They've been taking chances. They're trying to, change things up instead of just doing more of the same. That was the problem, that people weren't ready for a different Superman. And people weren't ready for Superman who kills. They weren't ready for Batman who kills. They just weren't ready for it. I think, this one, it fits in nicely with the rest of the other films. But yeah, the fact that this is going with Harley Quinn, it's her show, and she's a bad guy. Of course, they totally turn her into, Harley Quinn is a misunderstood character more so though than a bad, and a misguided, I would say, person.
Well, I mean, she does kill lots of people.
Yeah. a character though that also came to mind, like Harley Quinn, and also this movie, just the way that it made me feel when I got out of it, very similar to this film when I first saw it. That's actually Rob Zombie's House of 1,000 Corpses. When I first saw House of 1,000 Corpses, I was just like, wow, this movie's like, they took all of these things that I love and they threw them in a blender and they dumped it out and was like, here it is. And I kind of feel like this movie does that in many ways. I mean, there's so many just like cool elements in this film. It's like, it's just brimming with, colors and brimming with like, punk and like rockabilly flavor, just like independent spirit. It's just brimming in a different way, because House of 1,000 Corpses is just very dark, underground, grindhouse. This one though is also very much has a lot of that like, I would say, grindhouse kind of spirit, and I can talk about that a little bit more in a minute. But the character of Firefly in House of Thousand Corpses, she's a lot like Harley Quinn. Of course, she is more of a sexualized character, but she's still very much, she's a deadly but also very cutesy and girly, just very, I would say, a very much a brat and a sassy kind of gal. What I mean by that is that they get their way, and they know how to get their way, and they're going to get their way, even if it's throwing a fit or if it's having to cut somebody's throat. and they like to pretend that they don't want to be in control, but they want to be in control. So that's the thing with her and Joker, is that she's always, I think, thought that she was pulling the strings of Joker. And of course, Joker has always thought that he's pulling the strings with her. And that's that conflict that they have, but also that can't live without the other one sort of thing they have going on. But yeah, the, Baby Firefly, Sherry Moon Zombie's character. I never did see Three Fail, so I don't know how that character moved along. But definitely in the first one and also in Devil's Rejects, I think a lot like Harley Quinn. Like I said, the whole also just throwing lots of different fun things into a blender and dumping it out. Think that plays in a lot of ways, because one of the things that I was thinking about with this movie is how it isn't totally, but it does get there. It's a girl gang movie, you know. It's a team up. They eventually are a badass girl gang that, you know, have this confrontation that's sort of out of, like, it could almost be a zombie movie or a vampire movie, even, you know, the ending. It could be From Dusk Till Dawn or Dawn of the Dead, you know what I mean? Where they just got all these people that are coming, and they just have to beat the shit out of them. So I was just thinking about girl gangs and great girl gang movies. And that's something that's very much been like a staple for, you know, underground films and grindhouse movies. And
it is a big grindhouse thing, and
I wrote down a ton of things, and I want to make sure all of these are puzzle pieces though. So I'm just going to go through them. So,
okay.
So you got in 1965, you've got Russ Meyer's Faster Pussycat Kill Kill. 1968, you got Herschel Gordon Lewis's She Devils on Wheels. 1973, you got Ted V. Michaels' The Doll Squad, which also actually inspired Charlie's Angels, the TV show. 1975, you got Jack Hill's Switchblade Sisters. Albert Pune in 1986, Fish's Lips. Of course, then starting to go more mainstream, you got 1996, The Craft, Set It Off, and then bringing us even more up to date, you had Death Proof, again with Quentin Tarantino, and then Ghostbusters in 2016, and we all know how that turned out.
Can we throw Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back in the mix?
We can always throw that into the mix.
There you go. But yeah, that's a great little list of girl gang movies. Yeah, that is some well-researched puzzle pieces right there.
Yeah. No, this movie, for me, was a lot of fun. And just thinking about the movie, the more I think about it, the more I like it. Because, I mean, it's very much, it is it's a feminist movie. It is. And it is a movie about a character becoming their own person, and then about a character working together with other like misfit characters, and them just kind of putting their differences aside and doing what they have to do. And it's not something that's forced like Suicide Squad. There's no, oh, we're family, and they're not really family. There was nothing, you know, like that in here.
Right.
There was no, oh, so what are we, like, birds of prey? You know, there was no great dialogue like that in this movie.
Yeah, no.
So, I mean, it's still, I think a lot of people say that this movie did not flow well for them. But for me, it worked. I actually like that in the heat of the moment that, hey, we've got to work together. We've got to do this. And like I said, that felt in many ways also very almost grindhouse, because that's something that they do in martial arts movies. That's something that they do in horror movies. Again, zombie movies, vampire movies. You know, I mean, it's not like the one I can think of is Batman v Superman, where you have Batman and Superman, and then Wonder Woman shows up. It's kind of like that, where it's just like, and I think maybe people want more of the team up building as opposed to, boom, we're all here, we better do this. But I like that element. I like the, you know, just kind of coming together as opposed to a forced group.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That is a tough thing, because I feel like most of the movies that try to jump right into the team, they just seem to fall flat every time. I think Marvel has its work cut out for them with this Eternals movie that's coming out at the end of the year to start the next big phase of their movies with 6 new characters or whatever, 8 new characters. Right. It's going to be tough, man. This could be their first major failure as far as I'm concerned, but I guess we'll see what happens. So.
See, and I'm kind of excited for it. So, of course.
Yeah, I'm sure. Oh, man. So any other pieces to add to the list before we do the finished puzzle?
Well, I did want to say for sure, because I looked her up, Renee Moneymaker was the stunt double for Margot Robbie. The action scenes in this are absolutely fantastic. And evidently she was actually the stunt double for Brie Larson in Captain Marvel as well. So, oh. I mean, she obviously is a badass and knows what she is doing. I would say specifically Snatch. I did mention Guy Ritchie, but I would specifically right. say Snatch. One, that it's a diamond, and then also just the way that it is out of order, and then also it even does the classic Guy Ritchie trademark that I love, where it actually rewinds and then retells you. So I would say Snatch for sure. Also, speaking of Grindhouse Underground, I thought of I think it was 72 or 73 movie Unholy Rollers, which is actually a roller derby movie about a woman who, she quits her job. She's tired of like her sexist boss, so she quits her job and she gets a job on a roller derby team. I didn't know you could make money doing this, but she gets a job on a roller derby team, and she's the new girl, so nobody really wants her there because everybody's trying to keep their place. And long story short, she ends up being just too much of a rebel to even be on the roller derby team. And she actually ends up not even being on the team at the end of the movie. So it's just a story about finding yourself and not necessarily that being a part of something is what you need to do. You might think that you want to do that and then you try it, but it might necessarily be your thing. And I just think a lot of ways, just a lot of that spirit to this film. More recent films I thought of, Spring Breakers, a girl gang movie as well. Of course, they had the guy leading them, but the visuals of Spring Breakers, you know,
a lot of sparkles.
Yes. The Purge, the visuals of The Purge itself, especially the fact that you had all of the guys at the end, the gang that come to get them, they're all wearing masks, which I love that. I loved not only the motorcycle scene, but I did love that whole scene at the end in the fun house where they beat up all the guys. And the other thing I did definitely want to mention were, I was thinking of specific like feminist movies that we don't necessarily view as like feminist movies, or that just kind of fell through the radar for whatever reason. And I thought of Clueless, the Amy Heckerling 1995 movie. Alicia Silverstone, which I love her. And she's a very, girly girl. And Harley has that aspect of her too, that whole makeup and
a lot of fourth wall breaking too.
Yeah. And also, you know, that movie's just mostly about, you know, you being you, you know?
Yeah.
The other one, actually, I thought of Madonna because of the whole Marilyn Monroe bit. Madonna, Desperately Seeking Susan, the 1985 movie, which was directed by Susan Sadelman. And that's about, it was Rosanna Arquette, and it's about a housewife, a bored housewife who, you know, longs for more. And then she ends up like basically getting amnesia. Of course, that's something they always did in the 80s. and it ends up kind of this like kind of trading places almost type thing with Madonna's character. It's very much, you know, very 80s punky New York graffiti sort of vibe. She ends up, you know, just kind of finding herself being this free spirit. The other one I wanted to mention was actually animated, the movie Brave, the 2012 movie, which actually co-directed by Brenda Chapman. So I'm hitting on some female directors here as well. I wanted to make sure and do that. Brave, of course, broke the princess mold and with Disney of she didn't need a prince. And she goes off because they're trying to force her to get married, and she goes off to, you know, be her own person, discover herself. And she was a badass with the bow and arrow, which you had the bow and arrow killer, crossbow killer. Of course, nobody called her that. They all called her Huntress. But yes. so that was my list. I think I did have some other things, but I think I got a lot of what I was wanting to get to out of the way. I kind of feel like Harley Quinn kind of jumping around here, but
yeah, that makes perfect sense. I feel like if I let him, ladies and gentlemen, he would go for at least another 20 puzzle pieces, but
well, I do have to put a work here.
So. Yeah, so we might as well wrap this thing up. So finished puzzle. Let's see if I actually managed to write down everything that was brought up here. So we have Supergirl, Deadpool 2, Tank Girl, A Clockwork Orange, the Kill Bill movies, Haywire, Atomic Blonde, The Raid, Jackie Chan movies, including Police Story and Chinese Zodiac, the John Wick movies, Watchmen, Sucker Punch, The Professional, Joker, House of a Thousand Corpses, Girl Gang movies, including Faster Pussycat, Kill Kill, She's Devil on Wheels, The Doll Squad, Switchblade Sisters, Vicious Lips, The Craft, Set It Off, Death Proof, Ghostbusters, Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back, Captain Marvel, Guy Ritchie movies, especially Snatch, Unholy Rollers, Spring Breakers, The Purge, Clueless, Desperately Seeking Susan, and Brave. Did I miss anything, Chad?
Ah, that sounds good to me.
Hell yeah, I did it. Only other one, I couldn't think of a specific movie for this, but I know I've seen it before. But the movie where there's like a gang, you know, and there's the quiet, weird, dorky kind of one that like doesn't really say much until the end when it turns out is the most badass one. That's Huntress, and that I've seen that before in other movies.
Right, you know? Right.
Yeah, so I couldn't think of a good example though, but it's out there, I'm sure. Hey,
almost Breakfast Club in a way there.
Yeah, sure, a little bit of that. I think we could wrap this thing up. You kind of got some of your closing thoughts in there before we got to the finished puzzle, but any last things you wanted to mention about it?
I loved it. It's not my favorite of the DC movies. I mean, I was thinking of the ranking. I would put it like fifth. It could very well go up. I think this is a movie that is going to really resonate with some people, and they're going to love it. I think like Tank Girl, it'll be a film that I do enjoy going back to over and over, and I may love it more and more each time. But I think, you know, I was very, very impressed with the handling of all these different elements. I think Kathy Ann, I'm a fan of hers instantly. And of course, Margot Robbie, she fantastic. So yeah, no, I mean, I pretty much touched on everything.
Only other thing I wanted to mention is, you know, we kind of jumped through them while going through the puzzle pieces, but most, if not all, of the cast is just really, really great. You know, some of the people you just mentioned, also Ethan Hawke, also Chris Messina, and then, of course, Mary Elizabeth Winstead. I mean, just, I think, steals the movie. But there's so much so much having fun with this cast. Right. Like everybody is having such a blast making this thing. I just wish more people would see it. Even though I didn't love it, I wish more people would see it because it's definitely a movie worth seeing.
Yeah, I so wish people would go see it. People are sexist. They're terrible. That's my opinion. I mean,
people are terrible for a variety of reasons. Let's put it that way. Oh man! So you got your recommendation in at the beginning of the episode.
Nope. I got another.
I got another one.
Okay. It fits.
Okay. All right. Go for it.
So it's actually on Amazon Prime as well. It's a documentary series. It's called Ted Bundy, Falling for a Killer. It's directed by Trish Wood. Great documentary. What it is it looks at Ted Bundy from the perspective of the women. So it's mostly Elizabeth Kendall, who was his longtime girlfriend. It's mostly a movie about her relationship with Ted and her daughter as well. The daughter's relationship with Ted, but it also talks to some of the women investigators that were on the case. It actually talks to some of the survivors of Ted Bundy who have never been like interviewed on film. So it's very, very like from the perspective of, you know, the victims. It's a, you know, you basically get the same Ted Bundy, but it definitely gives it a unique spin. It's fantastic. So I definitely recommend watching it.
All right. Sounds good. Well, Chad, I'm glad we got a new DC movie to talk about and get you on the show again, as always.
Yes.
But thanks as always for being here, man.
All right. Well, thank you.
I'm Christy.
And I'm Jackie.
And we are Killer Fun. We explore the intersection of crime and entertainment every other week.
For as long as people have been communicating, they have been talking about who did what to whom, and is that socially acceptable?
Because the boundaries of society,
crime,
and entertainment have always gone hand in hand.
The more salacious,
or weird,
the better. From books and movies
to television shows and games,
we look at how life and art imitate and inform one another.
And we can't get together and not laugh. So let's face it, there's going to be laughing.
Killer Fun is available anywhere you listen to podcasts. So join us.
All right. I hope you enjoyed that conversation with Chad about Birds of Prey. Of course, Chad will be back in just a few months for Wonder Woman 1984 because we got to get Chad on all of the DC related episodes. So if you enjoy piecing it together, we would really appreciate it if you'd rate and review us on Apple Podcasts or Podchaser. Of course, make sure you're subscribed on your podcast app of choice. We're on all the major podcast apps, and we've got a whole lot of new episodes coming your way over the next few weeks. We got a bunch of them already recorded, including now that we're through the Oscars and through Birds of Prey, starting from today forward, we've got an episode on our most anticipated movies of the rest of 2020. It features Chad Clinton Freeman again, and it's got our buddy Ryan Daugherty. It's a really fun episode. It's coming up later this week, and I do encourage you to give it a listen. We get into quite a few of the movies that are coming in the coming months, and movies that I'm hoping we'll get to cover all of them here on the show. So that does it for today. Let's leave you guys with a piece of music as we always do. Let's go with a track that I think Harley Quinn would appreciate. It's a song called Butterfly from my album Head Like Fire. There's a really cool music video for this made by a dude named Tobias Steiner. It's a cool computer-generated imagery video thing that's just really awesome. It's available on my YouTube channel, youtube.com/musicbydavidrosen. Should check out that video. But the album also, Head Like Fire, it is available wherever music is available. And this track, Butterfly, is on that. So enjoy Butterfly, and we'll be back with more Piecing It Together coming up later this week. Thank you.
and all points west.